My name is Sarah Garrett Gasson, and I am an editorial writer with the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill, who will be back Tuesday, I believe. We are joined today by Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. And we're going to be speaking with Margaret Kensky, a Republican pollster. But first, let me tell you about how this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It's a true continuing care retirement community. And learn more about Splendido over breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th. That's September 20th. It's a Thursday at 9:30 in the morning. RSVP and say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show. The number for RSVP is 762-4090. That's 762-4090. And learn more at SplendidoTucson.com. Mark and Dan, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
And I wanted to also say welcome to Margaret Kensky, who's joining us on the line. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
So I think the most obvious question is, we've had a primary election today or this week. It seems like it's every day is election day when you cover this sort of stuff or when you're polling about it, I'm sure. So what is just your brief overview of how things turned out on Tuesday?
Well, you know, as pollsters, we look for patterns. And I found this one very hard to find the patterns. Maybe you all can see them. But first, the thing that struck me first was what I considered a fairly low turnout, below expectations. A lot of those early ballots weren't returned. And I think statewide, we ended up at about 23% of registered voters. And Maricopa County was quite a bit lower. And seeing as they had the open seat, I was a little puzzled by that. And then I looked at the results and I said, okay, you know, Gosar beat Gould rather easily, but then Schweikert beat Quayle, then Salmon beat Adams. And I'm going, okay, there's no pattern really there. And down here, we had Miller, easily the most conservative, I think, of the candidates in District 1, winning, you know, pretty substantially.
Was that a surprise to you?
I kept telling people that I, without data, there was no way to predict that one. I thought that Ms. Miller had two things going for her. First of all, she was the only female in the race, and if you have little information, you look for something outstanding about a candidate. But that isn't to be demeaning to her at all. It's just that, you know, I'm looking for someone who's different, that stands out. Secondly, she worked very, very hard. Okay? The thing that I find interesting about that, though, is that historically, the district she represents is what I'd call a somewhat conservative district. And she's very conservative. So, you know, there's just a little disjuncture there, but again, hard work, et cetera. But then you switch down to District 4. And
could you tell us just briefly where District 4 is?
Okay, this is the far east side of Tucson, and then it swings down through Vail, goes over through Suarita and Green Valley, the center of the Rosemont controversy.
Okay, and actually Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News is here, and I know he has a question for you.
Sure.
Dan.
Yeah, we were, you said that many of the early ballots were not returned, which is always interesting, and we were talking on Monday with a couple of folks here on the Face-Off about how early voting really has changed the way that candidates have to run their campaigns.
Oh, so, absolutely.
And so even though you say that a lot of those ballots were not returned, early voting really is the way to direct a campaign, right?
You absolutely can expect that almost half of the ballots are going to come in early. What was interesting, Dan, this time was that the ballots, there's the usual, the first few days after the ballots are dropped, then you get a big rush, and then there's a drop-off of returns. But then the last, you know, few days before the election, you get another wave in there. It was at that point that they didn't come in as heavily as expected.
Okay.
Now, I think Pima did much better than Maricopa in that regard. We did return. Our return rate was higher. Getting back to your question about candidates, you have to be prepared, as you know, in any campaign, to really assume that the election is 30 days ahead of the date specified.
Definitely.
And which means you got to time your ads, mail drops, etc., to get that first wave of early ballots.
Well, my wife was working at one of the polls down in Sahuarita, and you would have thought that nobody knew there was even an election going on because so few people had showed up. But but we ended up with a decent turnout, and of course in Green Valley, older voters. The older voters down there who are voting early, have the early ballots, tend to send them off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely has affected the way that a lot of the candidates have been coursing through our area.
It's interesting to me that happens. I would say just as one side effect of it, it makes campaigns a bit more expensive.
Sure.
I can imagine. And Mark, what did you want? I know you had a question for Margaret. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So, Dr. Kensky, you had mentioned in your answer earlier about the lack of information in the Board of Supervisors District 1 race. And that got me thinking about the, and maybe I'm looking back with a rose-colored glass here, but it seemed to me that in perhaps, you know, as early as a decade ago, there seemed to be more information, more polling that was being released about local races. And lately, it doesn't seem to be hardly any information coming out about local races. Is that because the candidates just aren't doing the polling, or they're keeping them to themselves now more than releasing them publicly? Or could it be also because there's just not as much media willing to pay for public polling as there might have been in the past?
You know, and that's really interesting, Mark. In the past, I have done polling for the Star on elections, for the Weekly, and it's associated, but that doesn't seem to be happening as much anymore. You're perfectly on target there. As far as the candidates are concerned, I think given the rising costs of campaigning, that's an area in which people may be willing to devote fewer resources than they had in the past. I did just one poll down here.
I was wondering if...
And you know, usually, I mean, but because people couldn't afford it. Now, what they're doing, let me finish my thought, Sarah, before I lose it. You know how that goes. My thought is that a lot of them are turning to the really cheaper alternatives, which aren't really, to me, as reliable. You know, the robocalling, you know, calling into and having the computer ask the questions and you punch the 1, 2, 3, or 4. The reason I say it's not as reliable, there might be a likely voter at that number, but it also could be my 5-year-old grandson punching the button.
Well, that is a very scientific way to do that. Yeah, just start.
Yeah, so
punch 1 if you are 4.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you are right. I wanted to ask about the decline that we're talking about in polling. Is social media and a presence on Facebook and Twitter and all that sort of it's not free because you have to have people doing that, but you could have volunteers doing that. Is that adding a different dimension where candidates might think they're getting a picture of support or a race?
You know, I think that they probably do, and it's certainly not something that I would ignore as a candidate, because we're talking about winning at the margins a lot of the time, and let's say, you know, 20-odd percent of your likely voters get their news from Facebook or Twitter, you can't ignore that. It's not definitive. But a lot of candidates, I think you ignore it at your peril, as you ignore anything. I can't turn my computer screen on without being asked to give money to President Obama or, you know, whatever.
Or Mitt Romney or any
Mitt
other.
Romney. Yeah, I've noticed President Obama started very early this year on that. You simply can't ignore it.
Right.
It's a factor.
It is everywhere. Dan, I think you had another question.
Yeah, just to go back a little bit, because I think you're right, newspapers are backing off from paying for polls. And just for the listeners, can you give a sense of, and I know this is a tough one, but Roughly, what would it cost for a newspaper to have a poll done? And I know it depends on how many candidates, how many questions, and everything.
It's always a function of the number of questions and the number of respondents you want. But let's say in a congressional district, your minimum number of respondents would have to be around 300, and probably 400 is better if it's, you know, a tightly contested race. And if it's what we call, you know, a start-off, baseline, what are the issues, how well are these people known, what messages work type of poll, probably a minimum for an N of, let's say, a number of 400 would be, you know, $8,000 to $10,000.
Wow. And for newspapers these days, that's a lot of money.
Well, it is. For newspapers, it is for anybody. It is for campaigns. I always tell clients, don't waste money on polling every day because it's just not worth it. You know, you can overdo it on polling. I'm well aware of that. But given that cost factor, you know, the stations, the television stations here for a while turned to the robo-type call. You know, I remember, well, I think KVOA started it first. But then you have your anchor there saying, our unscientific poll results show that.
Sure.
But do you think that the voters or the news consumers, who hopefully will become voters, have any idea about, you know, a scientific poll, a Facebook poll, an unscientific poll? Do you think that resonates?
I think the word unscientific makes people question. I mean, just using the word, they don't understand the mechanics of it particularly. But if the person giving the information says, this isn't scientific, but I think then it's a little questionable as to how much of a, you know, impact that's really going to have.
Okay, well, stay with us, please. We are headed to a break, and I am here with Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. I'm Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star filling in for Bill Buckmaster, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pedorthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill. We're here with Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News. He's the editor, and Mark Evans, the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com. Joining us on the line is Margaret Kensky, a Republican pollster. She has a wealth of knowledge about how all polling data comes about, how it's used, everything like that. But first, if you'll indulge me for a moment, we have some breaking news, I guess. The Open Elections, Open Government Initiative, the top two primary initiative, will be on the November ballot. It was kind of back and forth in the courts with signatures not being approved, and then, but now it looks like, unless something else happens legally, that the top two, or the Open Elections, Open Government Initiative, will be on the ballot. Dr. Kensky, could you give us your thoughts on that?
Well, it's going to make the party organizations unhappy on both sides. They've been vigorously opposing this. I always wonder when there's a reform in if the consequences may not be somewhat unintended. So we'll have to wait and see. I understand the motivation behind this, but I'm kind of wondering, you might get two very conservative, two very liberal contenders. We don't know. This is uncharted territory for the United States. It reminds me of the races, the proportional representation systems in Europe that work somewhat like this.
One of the motivations behind it is to try and get independents who have been pretty much shut out of the primary process. So even though they can vote in the primaries, they have to go and choose a ballot, and they choose not to do that.
Right.
And so the idea is if you get these independents back into the system. So in terms of polling, how has this explosion of independent voters just fleeing the two parties to the point – where there's even more independents now in Arizona than there are Democrats. How has that affected polling and the ability to predict races? You talked about some of the unusual results of the recent primary. Can any of that be attributed to independents?
Yeah, it does, and it affects the campaigning. And what the campaign does as far as the polling, when I first started polling, and my husband and I, it was back in, oh, good Lord, 78, from Oudall, as a matter of fact, you know, you would assume in primaries and such that, you know, independents, even in the general election, were just going to be a very small percentage of the overall, and you kind of set your models up based on that. And increasingly, we've had to include more and more independents. They still vote at a lower rate than partisans do. But there's now such a large number that I think we assume that in a general election, about 20% on average across the state of the electorate will be independents. Still, they're undervoting, but they're still there. Arizona, because we do put voter history on the in the voter file, you can do an analysis and find out, okay, what percentage of these independents actually voted in this particular district.
Now, I know Dan has a question on that, but before we get to that, I just needed to tell our listeners and remind you that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It's a true continuing care retirement community, and they're having a informational breakfast out at the Tucson Hilton East on Thursday, September 20th. And you can RSVP at 762-4090. 762-4090, and let them know that you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show. Dan.
We're really not in completely uncharted territory because California is going through its first election with this right now. Have you seen anything out of there at this point which would indicate, as you said, they're discovering the problems as they arise, they're not anticipating them?
I honestly don't have enough information to make a judgment about that. I'm glad they're going through this, and we'll see what the results are. But I really don't I don't have any information about it right now. I think it's an interesting concept. I think the rise in independence is something we certainly have to acknowledge, and I think that the source of it is partly because there's so many news sources. We don't depend on the parties for our news anymore. But I think maybe a larger factor is the nature of the politics, how nasty and non-cooperative it has gotten, and the parties both being somewhat hardline in their approaches to policy and people not feeling comfortable with either. What will be interesting to me is if that should pass, and we don't know whether it will or not, what will be interesting is to see if independent candidates, people who are neither Republican or Democrat, can really break into it.
I was
and win.
On listening on the a different station. I think it was NPR. Someone was talking about on the way over, just getting the headline news, and they were talking about independents being not really truly independent. That independents are actually Republicans or Democrats or Greens or liberal or libertarians or whatever, but they just don't make up their mind as early as other, you know, people who have a stronger party affiliation. Mm. Is that something that you think is right on?
Let me just say, in Arizona, we found that there is a difference between those who declare as independent and those who say PNDs, party not declared. That latter group tend to be people who just don't think it's anyone's business on the public record what party they identify with. The independents in Arizona and nationwide, actually, tend to be people. It's not just a question. They do make up their mind later because they don't have the strong partisan cues. But for them, it's more a question of deciding which of the issues are more relevant to them in this campaign, such that, okay, I'll vote Democrat or I'll vote Republican this time, because I'm more concerned about the economy, I think they can handle it better, you know, Democrat or Republican. But they're often quite a mix. And the Pew Center has done some really interesting work on this historically. It's not that they don't have views on the issues. It's just that they agree with neither party at a really high level. A lot of them are maybe economic conservatives but social liberals, and vice versa.
It's, right.
They're not a solid voting bloc.
Well, I wanted to say that, yeah, I think I agree, just, you know, reading letters to the editor and talking to people that I think there's a lot of kind of mix and match among the parties, and that's something that has been changing recently. I also wanted to thank you, Dr. Margaret Kensky, for being with us on the Bill Buckmaster Show.
My pleasure.
We appreciate your insight and your knowledge about all these things. We're here with Mark Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com and Dan Shearer of Green Valley News. He's the editor over there. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, and we will be right back after a few moments.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal says officials expect to soon have 70% of the water out of an area south of New Orleans. It flooded after being hit by Isaac. More than 100 people had to be rescued from flooding in the area after Isaac made landfall on Tuesday evening. A federal judge in Ohio is giving all voters in the swing state the option of casting their ballot in person during the 3 days before Election Day. The attorney for the former Navy SEAL who wrote a book about the raid that killed bin Laden says his client is not violating any non-disclosure agreements, but the Pentagon says it is considering legal action against the author. The Dow's up 77 points, the NASDAQ ahead 15. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Mr. Buckmaster, who will be back next week. Joined in the studio by Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, and Mark Evans, the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com. I wanted to remind our listeners that if you'd like to know more about Splendido, which is a continuing care retirement community up in Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, you have a great opportunity to go and hear about it over breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East. It's on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30 a.m. And you can RSVP and say that you heard about it at the Buckmaster Show. The number to RSVP is 762-4090, and you can learn more about it at SplendidoTucson.com. So it's, as Bill always says, no shortage of news happening this week. So we just learned that the open primary, open government initiative is going to be on the November ballot. It's been on and off and on and off, and now it looks like it will be on. So, Mark.
Yeah, it was a tough fight to get it on there. The establishment, both Republicans and the Democrats, do not like it because it takes a lot of wind out of their sails and a lot of their ability to control who the candidates are. There's definitely probably some goods and bads to the thing. One of the things that people are concerned about is that this, instead of having an election for a primary, this forces the parties to go to caucuses while they'll be choosing in kind of smoky back rooms who the candidates are going to be. But I think it opens the door for more independent candidates and perhaps even give the opportunity. A lot of those minor party owner, the Green Party people, complain all the time that they don't get enough press. It may even give them an opportunity to rise above the fray as well. So the one thing that I think is the most specious argument against it is that, well, boy, if we do this, you could just, instead of having a Democrat and a Republican to choose from in the general, you'll just have 2 Republicans in some districts. And my answer to that is, so what? If you've got everybody in the pool in the primary and the 2 people that rise to the top that get the most votes when everybody's voting, the Democrats, independents, and Republicans, it's 2 Republicans, then okay, so what? That's probably more representative of that district than if some Democrat squeaks in or gets in simply because they're the Democrat, and we have this partisan primary system when the Democrat is a minority, an extreme minority, perhaps in that district. So I think on the getting independents back into the primary system and choosing the candidates, I think is going to be an overall good and on balance. I think it's going to be good that the voters will have a chance to vote on this.
Dan, what do you think?
Well, obviously, Mark, I like what you say as far as, you know, if the top 2 should move on. However, again, as people are saying, what if it's a heavily Democratic district and you have 5 Democrat candidates and only 2 Republicans? Well, the Democrats are going to split the vote and end up in places 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And so it's not going to be good for them, so it wouldn't be representative. However, one advantage of this I see is that it's going to force the candidates to really focus more on local issues and really find out what matters to the people and what the people are talking about. Part of the problem with this, however, could be that the candidates become so locally focused that they aren't thinking of the overall good of the state. And I'm thinking, like, you know, these state legislative candidates or whatever. So There is really a lot of good and bad to this. We have been down this road. I think Washington does it. This is the first year for California. Louisiana has a modified version of this. It's really interesting, and we'll see where it takes us in the next few years, if indeed it does pass in November.
I mean, I can see just from concerns, if you are, say, a Democrat living in a Republican area, your choices are extremely limited, or they would be more limited. I can see that this would be an issue for whatever the minority is in a particular area. The other thing, though, is that I think we run the risk of candidates being so bland, even more bland than they are now, and not saying anything of any substance about any issue, just to avoid angering anyone or giving them a reason to vote against them, that it's going to be just more blah.
I don't think so, because right now what we've got with the system that we have is we've got all these independents abandoning the process. We've created these very extreme parties where you've got very liberal Democrats and very conservative Republicans, and they're choosing the very conservative Republican and the very liberal Democrat to run against each other. And so we're getting extreme policies in the state. So to bring some moderation, to bring all those centrist voters who are abandoning the system back into the fold, I think is a net good. I don't think we'll get bland candidates. I think we'll get candidates who are trying to represent the majority of the voters in the district, not just the one particular hardcore voters who turn out on primary day. I mean, look at the turnout. We just had statewide, like 27% turnout.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's horrible. Those are the ones who chose the candidates that the rest of us now get to vote for in the general. And so I think it's a good thing in terms of a Democrat in a Republican district not being able to get through is a failure of redistricting more than it would be a failure of top two. And the redistricting process that we went through was handicapped because of the Voting Rights Act, where we're having to be enforced by the federal government to pack all of these Hispanic and Latino voters into just a couple of districts, which creates this imbalance that then has to be adjusted through the rest of the redistricting process. If we could straighten out redistricting and get balanced districts, then that problem that people are worried about doesn't come into play.
And I think what you said earlier begs the question, are independent voters truly independent, or do the people who are now...
No, they're left-leaning Republicans or they're right-leaning Democrats who are turned off by this coarse nature of our hardcore partisan politics we have now.
But I also think that part of it is going to be our voters. I mean, primary turnout is so low already that you get, like you were saying, and I think in our case in Arizona, it tends to be more hardline to the right than to the left, just based on the politics of the state. Hard left politics aren't going to go anywhere. But you're going to have voters who are willing to be engaged and inform themselves and go beyond just, oh, there's an R, oh, there's a D. And also the other thing is that there is no such thing, I don't think, as a nonpartisan election, because everyone knows. I mean, is Al Melvin going to suddenly not be a Republican because he doesn't have an R next to his name?
Well, and they would certainly have the option of putting that R on the ballot if they wanted. But I was studying this in Nebraska, where they have a unicameral legislature, you know, and they caucus based on issues, you know, agriculture, urban issues, whatever. And again, it forces more of the discussion to go in the direction of the way that people want. And then again, if you look at I think Dr. Kensky brought this up. If you look at an independent candidate, I mean, what does an independent candidate look like? I think it's like herding cats. These independents are all over the board, and I agree with you, Mark, that they lean left or right for the most part. But there are a lot of people who are just simply tired of the system and are really flat out in the middle.
And I should mention that on next Thursday, Ted Downing, who is one of the drivers of the Open Elections, Open Government Initiative, and Bruce Ash, who is a very active in the Republican Party. I think he was probably still at the convention in Tampa. But they will be here to talk about the open primary issue on the Bill Buckmaster Show at noon on next Thursday. So you want to tune in for that. If we can change topics, TUSD, Tucson Unified School District, is always a big issue, even with people who don't live in the district or don't even have kids in the district. So, Mark, can you tell us what happened with the contract for Superintendent John Petticone?
Well, the superintendent had a multi-year contract that's up in 2013. And the with 2 months to go before a very hotly contested TUSD election where there's 12 candidates running for three seats, this current board decided to give Mr. Petticone an extension, which is fairly controversial, rather than wait till after the election and see what shakes out. And then they also gave him a bonus for his performance, which then he has turned around and donated back to a foundation that supports education within the district. But it's quite interesting that I mean, maybe the incumbents are feeling that they might not be back, that they needed to give Mr. Petticone another year's extension, or maybe he thought that he needed another year's extension, depending on the election. It probably would have been better to wait until after the election rather than tie the hands of this new board, especially if some of the incumbents lose.
Do you think that there's going to be a big turnover in the board?
Boy, you know, I don't know. With 12 people running, I mean, you could win with 15% of the vote, which would not be very representative of the sentiment within the district. It means probably 85% of the people didn't vote for you. I know it's going to be probably going to be quite a bitter election because there are people, especially divided on the MAS Mexican American Studies controversy. It's going to be quite an interesting 2 months in those races.
So, Dan, I know that you are in Green Valley, where miles and miles away from the Tucson Unified School District, but the Green Valley folks are very engaged in local politics, just events, topics throughout the state. Do you hear about TUSD and the whole Mexican American Studies issue from your readers?
You know, that's really interesting because it's a fascinating issue, and the paper appears really covered it well. And on occasion, I'll tell you this, that Sarita looks to Tucson because so many of the people work here. Green Valley likes to pretend that it's down there and doesn't have much connection to Tucson other than, you know, medical facilities and things like that. So
in the Trader Joe's.
In the Trader Joe's. We have shuttles to Trader Joe's. I'm just telling you that out of Green Valley. But so for the most part, that doesn't come up. Immigration does, and it will come up in the context of immigration quite a bit.
So what about we have also a new, or I guess not so new, but maybe new to the public, controversy in the city of Tucson streets department.
Right. So nearly a year ago, many months ago, several people in the streets department were suspended while they investigated missing asphalt and use of city streets vehicles for private use, perhaps even some private contracting. Well, half a shoe dropped this week, in which the city kind of announced that it was going to announce that it was going to be starting the process of firing up to six people, but it won't say who any of these people are, what their role is, what they did, or anything along those lines. So we've got another half of the shoe and maybe another shoe after that to drop still, but at least now we know that something nefarious has been going on, and it's another scandal that the city has to deal with. It just seems like every few months something crazy happens over there at City Hall. And you know, it's one of the things that the new mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, said he wanted to get a handle on, and the new city manager, and Richard Miranda. So, yeah, this happened under Letcher's watch.
Mike Letcher, former city
correct,
manager.
Yeah. So maybe this is just an echo of that. Who knows? But it's not good news for the city that's trying to rebuild its reputation leading up to a bond vote in 2 months where they want to get people to give them more money for the roads.
Yes. And before we run out of time, I wanted to make sure that we got an update on the Rosemont situation, the Rosemont mine, from Dan. That you've been following this very, very closely.
Right. What's interesting this past week is that a documentary is out by a man named John Doherty. And if that name sounds familiar, he ran for Senate for the Democrats in 2010 and got dumped in the primary. But he's been a longtime investigative journalist in Arizona. He has put out a documentary called Cyanide Beach. It has nothing to do with Rosemont or Augusta. However, several board members for Augusta Resource, which is the parent company of Rosemont, were involved in a questionable mine operation over in Sardinia. And we have done a long story. It's on our website, gvnews.com, on this. We've been working on it since January. And then John's documentary just came out, and I'm actually about to go interview him. So gvnews.com, you'll read more about it. Very interesting.
So that's all the time we have today for our Friday Focus. I'd like to thank Mark Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com and Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News for sitting in with me. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill Buckmaster. And we will be back in just a few moments with Matt Russell, the Culinary Cruiser.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill, who I hope is listening and doing well. I wanted to say that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. There's hiking and arts and birding in Silver City's historic downtown. It's Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico make a really great getaway, especially for a time like coming for Labor Day. You'll find places like the Little Toad Creek Inn, where a friend of mine just went to a family wedding reception and said it was wonderful. And you'll also find places like the Continental Divide RV Park. So for more information, go to southwestnewmexico.org. Now, this music that you're hearing signals that Matt Russell is here for the weekend watch, and our culinary cruiser has, I'm sure, some great deals to tell us about for Labor Day. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great, Sarah. Thanks so much. And, you know, in fact, I'm not going to be in Tucson this Labor Day weekend. I have been invited to come up to Reno, Nevada, and actually be a judge at the nation's largest barbecue rib competition. And, you know, that's a difficult thing to turn down. So
Yeah, how do you get invited to a thing like that? That sounds...
Well, you know, I'm the culinary cruiser. I mean, this is an international brand, Sarah.
I see. And it's taken you to Reno.
You got to do it. 500,000 people and 200,000 pounds of ribs over 4 days. So I've got my work cut out for me.
So for those of us who aren't fortunate enough to journey up to Reno, what can we do while we're sad and lonely
here in Tucson? Indeed. Kicking off the Labor Day weekend is our happy hour pick of the week, Sarah. And that's going to be Feast, located at 3719 East Speedway. And our good friend Chef Doug Levy is constantly rotating his menu. And tonight he's going to be featuring a country-style pate of pork with chicken livers and pistachios. Or maybe you'd like the date plate, which features grilled crostini with hummus topped with fresh dates that are stuffed with manchego cheese and wrapped in pancetta. This is just gorgeous work. And those dates, I would say, would go really well with this cocktail that they call the Francophile, Grey Goose vodka, black currant liquor, and olives stuffed with currants. A great way to get a jump start on the weekend this afternoon at Feast.
I don't think I've heard those ingredients going together before. I bet it's going to be quite a culinary adventure. Anything else
you
have?
Take my word for it.
For us?
Absolutely. Continuing Labor Day weekend celebration, how about a staycation at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort? And our friends at Lowe's are inviting us to light up our Labor Day with live jazz and fireworks on Saturday. And some great rates for rooms all weekend long. And while you're there, I would say do yourself a favor and dine at one of my favorite restaurants in Tucson, the Flying V. Which, speaking of ribs, I think they've got some of the best barbecue ribs in town with a wonderful house-made agave barbecue sauce. A great destination package this weekend at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort.
And I'm sure the relaxing by the pool and the stunning views out there would be making it seem like you're not quite that you are on a vacation. I guess that's what a staycation is all about.
That's what it's all about.
And you have something for folks who do want to get out of town in Bisbee.
Yeah, indeed. Closing out the Labor Day weekend celebration, we love to pack the car and, as you said, head down to Bisbee for their annual Brewery Gulch Days. It's going on all day long on Sunday along that famous gulch that was once home to more than 20 bars and brothels. And now things are going to be getting underway with a pancake breakfast in the morning, followed by a pet parade, an art show, live music, lots of activities for the kids. And, of course, there has to be great food to get me excited, Sarah. And the annual Brewery Gulch Chili Cook-Off is going to be taking center stage, which always attracts some serious chili heads. I can't imagine a better way to spend a Sunday. We love Bisbee, and when there's chili and beer involved, all the better.
That is fantastic, and I have to say, I would travel all that way just to see the pet parade.
I don't think I've seen anything like that anywhere around, and it's just one of the most unique ways to spend a day. Kid-friendly activities, except for the brothel, of course. But anyway, this is always a lot of fun. Great food, great chili. I love it.
We should probably point out that there aren't actual operating brothels there now.
Yes, indeed. For the record, yes. Let the record reflect. This is an historic tribute.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you very much, Matt. I hope you have a great time in Reno, and I know all of us here in Tucson or in Bisbee will have a great time checking out the things that you mentioned.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Culligan Water is the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, and it... Sorry, I was wanted to just mention that our bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. I'm enjoying some beautiful, clear, tasty Culligan water right now. So wanted to say thank you on behalf of those of us in the studio who were filling in for Bill this week. It's been fun being a guest host. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. And Bill, we will welcome you back when you come back on Tuesday. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.